Good morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way. And we are excited for another day of grace and a day in which the Lord hath made, so we should rejoice in it, even though it sometimes it seems like it's a nasty, nasty world out there, evil world, but we know who we are in Christ, and we know where we're going to be seated in the heavenly places, and this world's not our own. Of God's Word. We're in Lesson 16, and if you will be turning to Romans chapter 9. Now, as we look at through some things before, when you rightly divide a word of truth, some of this may be elementary to you, some of this, but there's nothing wrong with renewing your mind when it comes to God's Word. When you think about studying the Word of God, the sound bites, the contrast, that's what this teaching situation is. And this is lesson 16 of the contrast. And as you've been looking at them, and we are looking at, if you're trying to explain the Bible to somebody, what better way is it to use the Bible? And we know that there's two divisions, right? Prophecy and mystery, and that type of thing. So lesson 16, we're going to look at the prophecy program has been temporarily delayed. We know that as you study the Bible, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and in Deuteronomy also, the kingdom is prophesied. What kingdom would that be? Kingdom where?
On earth.
Heaven on earth, okay? That's what they was to pray, heaven on earth. But we also know that when John the Baptist and Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So they're still prophesying about that kingdom. Now, where is that kingdom going to be? On earth. What about the heavenly situations? We understand some things because of something has happened. Then you come to Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and the prophecy kingdom is being offered. It wasn't offered back here. It was at hand. There were some things that Lord Jesus Christ had to do before the kingdom could be offered to him. Once again, who's he working with? Who is he going through to bring that kingdom to fruition? The nation Israel. Because we know back over here in time past, in Genesis chapter 11, God gave up everybody. God gave up. God gave us up. God gave us over to what we wanted to do. Then he says, this is what mankind is. But he chose one person out of that, all of the nations in the world, he chose one person out there through Abraham. Now, Abraham, we also know he is the father of faith, right? That's what we say. He's also the father of the Jews, right? The Israelites. But he also was a Gentile, right? He was the father of Gentile by faith. Then you come along, that prophecy program is being offered, but something happened, and that's what we're going to look at today, because that prophetic program is going to be over here in ages to come, and that's when the kingdom is going to be established. So in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, what do we know about the book of Romans? The book of Romans is the first book of doctrine for who? The body of Christ, okay? That's where we find some things in there. It's not the first book Paul wrote. He didn't write this till Acts 20, I think it was, 1920, around that area. But the thing is, when you look at the first five chapters of the book of Romans, what does that deal with? Justification, okay? You're justified. When you're justified, he never brings that up ever again. If you look at any of his writings, he don't say, okay, you got to be justified again. You got to be justified again. You got to be justified again. No, it's forever settled in God's program in the body of Christ. Once you trust Christ died for your sins and buried rose again, he made that provision for us. His death on the cross, we identify with it. We identify with his death, and we identify with his resurrection. That's justification. Then Romans 6, 7, and 8 is dealing with what? Sanctification, setting ourselves apart. Romans chapter 6 deals with sin. Romans chapter 7 deals with law. Romans chapter 8 deals with the flesh. So all that stuff is doing is sanctifying us to set us apart. Israel had the same thing over here. They had the same thing as far as setting them apart. Was they not supposed to be a peculiar nation? Was they not supposed to be a nation set apart, that God was with them? God was the nation Israel was the only nation that God dealt with. Everything else, everybody else is down here. But could everybody else down here, the Gentiles, which means nations, could they get to God? Could they just walk in there and say, hey God, here I am? Or did they have to do certain things? They had to fall under Israel's program. They had acknowledged that Israel, God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had to be circumcised, and they become proselyte, and they started doing that. And or you could also, pay alms or show them favor, bless them. Remember, I bless those who bless thee, I curse these who curse these, that type of thing, blessings and the cursings. Then you get to Romans 9, 10, 11, you'll find out some things about what Israel, the saved Israelites, not the lost Israelites, and you might be thinking, what are you talking about? Well, was every Israelite that walked this earth saved? When Jesus Christ walked this earth, did he not come to the nation Israel? Did he not go to the rulers and says this? Why would he go to the rulers to Israel? Because he was ruling Israel. But was they ruling according to God's standards or could their own standards? Look at me, pomp and stance. Here I am, kings and all that stuff. That's what happens to the flesh. That flesh wants, look at me. You think about money situations. There's not a person in here that's listening or sitting here don't want to be in a financial situation that you don't have to do much more. You know, everything's taken care of. But you got to watch that, because the thing is, how would that become your God? I got to do this that no matter what. You know, you hear people saying, I'm going to sell my soul for rock and roll and that type of thing. And you're looking at them like, I know what you're talking about, but Satan don't care about that. If he wants you to do this, or yourself wants to do this, you're going to do it. But Romans 9, 10, 11 is written to the fact that it's showing us about this day time that the kingdom has been temporarily on hold. He hasn't forgot about them. That's why I love to say about when Paul's going around to these synagogues. When he goes to these synagogues, he's going in there to find out what they know about Jesus Christ. Apparently, they didn't know about Jesus Christ the way he knew about Jesus Christ. So he goes in there and he teaches them some things. Not the little flock. The little flock is saved. If you was a part of that little flock, you was saved that's going to walk in that kingdom over there. What did Lord Jesus Christ do in Luke chapter 12, verse 32? It is my Father's good pleasure to give to you. Now, who is that you? Everybody sitting right here, right? Israel. That little flock, those 12 people and those who followed him, is inheriting that kingdom. You think those rulers loved that? You think those rulers that said, no, they didn't like that. What do they do? Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar and all that stuff. So they do crucify him. But there's Romans 9, 10, 11 is explaining to that little flock, believers, what God is doing. And he's temporarily postponed. The central issue, if you're taking notes, if not, for $3.99 you can get the tape or visit our website and it's free. But is the dispensation of grace and the dispensational position of Israel in relation to it. So now Paul is going to explain to Israel why you are temporarily on hold. And Romans chapter 9 focuses on Israel's past elections and God's sovereign purpose. And Romans chapter 10 focuses on Israel's present salvation and the righteousness of God. Then Romans chapter 11 focuses on Israel's future restoration and the advantage and privilege referred to Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. You're there, right? Romans chapter 9. What are the privileges? And we might have shared this in time past or in other studies and stuff, but Israel, the number one issue in Romans chapter 9 is the election is national. That's what they're going to serve, national. And then number two, the issue is service. When you're elected to something, what are you elected for? Service. So when God chose Israel, Israel as I, Jacob as I loved, Esau as I hated. He didn't hate Esau like you and I would hate somebody. He just saying, hey, this is where my service is to Jacob and the tribe of Israel, 12 tribe of Israel. So Romans chapter 4, this refers to who are Israelites? Who are Israelites? Okay, I tell you what, they're not, and they're not Gentiles, they're not uncircumcised, they're not without God, we'll refer that in a little bit, but who to whom pertaining the what? What does the Bible say? What's that verse say? Verse 4, to whom pertaineth the, chapter 9, verse 4, chapter 9, verse who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the, number one?
Adoption.
Adoption is referred to the time when God will publicly declare Israel to be his sons and he their God. That's what Hosea is talking about, Hosea chapter 1, verse 10 and so on. What else is there?
And the glory.
And what else is there? Wait a minute. The glory, okay, before you get to covenant, the glory they will have in the kingdom when God dwells in the midst of them. Listen, is God dwelling in the midst of Israel today? Is God dwelling in the midst of America today? Is God dwelling in the midst of South Africa today? Switzerland, he is.
I think God is watching over Israel, and us to a degree.
God's not a respecter of persons, so we can't count on him saying, "God, do this for me." When he says he's long-suffering, he says he's what does he say? He's not imputing trespasses and sins to us. So he's not favoring you over him.
No.
So what I'm getting at is he's not with a nation today. Okay? As much as we want to say he is, but he's not. Because if he was, where would he be at today? Israel. He'd be in the Holy Land. The glory. Isaiah talks about the glory of the land, the glory of the Lord, the light of the hill. That's what his glory was. Then it says, and the covenants. The covenants, those made with who? Not only Israel, where did it start out with? Who's the fathers?
Abraham,
Isaac, and Jacob. Promising land and blessings in the land. And with David, promise of the throne and a kingdom and honor. And a new covenant. By the way, are you a covenant people? Can we make covenants between each other? Yeah, we can make covenants. But did God ever make a covenant with a Gentile nation? Who did he make covenant with?
Israel.
And those covenants is pertaining to this top line up here. That's why Israel is the favorite nation, if you will. And they got a promise of a throne, David, and a king coming, and a kingdom over there. So that covenant, and by the way, where do you find, and I've mentioned this probably a couple dozen times over the year, where do you find the old covenant at? Where's that? Old Testament. Where do you find the new covenant at? Where's that, Leon? Well, it's still in the Old Testament. Don't believe me? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 31. Hold your finger there. And Jeremiah chapter 31. Now, where's Jeremiah at? We call that Old Testament. By the way, in your Bible, who put Old Testament, New Testament in your Bible? You know that's not God inspired. The maps are not inspired, but, you know, that type of thing. We always say, from cover to cover, God's Word is inspired. But 31. So we have the Old Covenant, Old Testament, and we have a New Testament. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Canton, Ohio, house of dispensation, grace of God, house with you and I. New covenant with who? House of Israel, and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I have made with the fathers in the day that I took them out of the hand, by the hand, and bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. See, even though they broke the covenant stuff, he's still a husband to them. Okay? He hates divorce. Y'all know that. But he granted Israel a divorce because of the hardening of the hearts. He didn't want them to be hardened towards him and Moses. Then he says, but thou shalt be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be be my people. Whenever you see that term, my people, who is it referring to? Israel. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin. How many more? That's what Acts 3:19 is. Okay, but look, what point in this Bible so far have we gotten to that he put it in their inward parts and caused them to walk and not to remember their sin no more? So when does it happen? Ages come. So that New Testament is in the Old Testament. But no, my Bible says, and starting Matthew, the New Testament. You do know, and this upsets a lot of people, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was still in the Old Testament, don't you?
Until the last chapter, three of them, and the last two chapters of John.
So, last chapter Matthew, last chapter Mark, last chapter Luke, and last two chapters of John, you start to get into the New Testament. Until the death of the testator. So when did he die? Those things like that. So when you have a last will and testament, now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm no lawyer, but you can have a living will, right? If anything happens to me right now, I'm living, I want this to do this. But usually, when did they read the last will and testimony? When you're gone. That's when it goes in effect. So, that Old Testament, go back to Romans 9, you find it in the New Testament. The New Testament, Okay, and then you say right over here, we've got the adoptions, we've got the glory, we've got the covenants, and the giving of the law. The giving of the law refers to the written word of God, given to the nation of Israel. That's what Romans chapter 3, verse 2 said. What did they have? What did the Israelites have in their possession? Of who? They had the Word. They had the Word. You and I have the Word. We don't have to speculate anything. They had the same Word that you have and I have. Then you say, and the what? The service of God. Israel was the only nation to whom God gave instructions as to how he desired to be worshiped. He laid it out to them. This is what I want you to do. You know what? Many of them did. There's, I believe wholeheartedly, people, there was a lot of people in the nation of Israel did exactly what God told them to do. But as sad as but God dealt with a nation, and those leaders was ones that refused to hear and watch and do what God says. So when he shows up at the right time, did they identify him? Nope. The promises. Spoken through the various prophets that Israel was one day going to be ahead of the nations and a blessing to the rest of the world. That's Isaiah chapter 60. So when you got to that, is that an advantage?
If you were part of the
Israelite. If you were an Israelite, that's truly an advantage. And it's the service and all. Let's see if I can find that right quick. Then you go, chapter 10, he talks about my brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear record, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for the righteousness to everyone that believeth. So what's going on here? They knew what righteousness was, or should have, but what did they created their own righteousness. You know, we was talking the other day, and how many fruits was in the garden? The particular fruits in the garden. There's an advertisement out there that talks about men should be eating this, and there was one fruit in the that God talked about in the garden that's supposed to be good for you. Okay, and what would you say it is? What vine would that be?
Grapes.
Okay, grapes. I know we talked about this the other day. Okay, but think about this for a minute. There was the apple in the garden? I don't think it was. Apples wasn't introduced to that part of the world for years, decades, and hundreds of years. Give me a verse on that. Well, it does now. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. Three keeps cancer away. Just saying, you got to eat it all. But look, the pomegranate, a pear and a fig, was definitely there. Yeah, figs are great for you. But the pomegranate, with Sherry and Lori and I was looking at it. On Israel's robe, if you look at their design of the robe, what's on the bottom of the, all the way around it? And I'm thinking, there's something to this. And then we open up, Lori showed us how it really, how many eats pomegranates? You buy them whole? Okay, Lori showed us the best way to do it, you put it in water. When you break them off, and they won't splatter all over and stain everything, because it looks like blood. And we was talking about that, and then what was it, a membrane? What do you call a membrane that holds? And she held it up. She said, that looks like snake skin. And it does, inside that pomegranate. Not to say that, you know, we're just talking like, Satan in the garden. Not a, but anyway, where am I going with this?
The tree in the garden.
The food, the fruit, and what they're supposed to be eating. But the thing is, I lost my train of thought. Oh, they know righteousness. And they went on and put on their own righteousness. With me? You and I don't do that today, do we? You know I'm joking. But we do. We want to be our own righteousness and stuff. So that's the 10. Then 11, the program is temporarily delayed because of why? Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Verse 1 says, have God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite in the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Then you get over here, Israel, chapter 11, and he says, verse 7, what then? Israel have not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election have attained it, and the rest were blinded. So who was Israel elected for in chapter 9? For what? Service. According to as written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear until this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Now, who's he talking to here? He's talking to his own people. He ain't talking about you and me. He's not talking about the Gentile nations out there. Then he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should what? Now, can you stumble without falling? Yes. Where did Israel stumble at? At the cross. God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. So they do fall. Where did they fall? It wasn't Acts 28. Stoning of Stephen. Now, if the fall of them be riches of the world, and diminish of them be riches of the Gentile, how much more of the fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, as much as I am apostle to Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. If the casting away of them be the reconcile of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So what happened here? Verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and their standeth by faith be not high-minded of fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he should spare not thee. What I'm trying to say here is this. If God, and we refer to this all the time about the fig tree. What did the Lord want to do with the fig tree? And what did the guy say? Lord, give us 1 year. Let me dung it. Let me take care of it. If it don't produce fruit, then what? Hew it down. What did John the Baptist come saying?
Take the axe to the tree.
The axe is at the root. They're ready. He knows Israel. He's going to cut Israel off. And that referring to that fig tree and those trees are very, very important in your Bible. But he's going to cut it down. Okay? At the root. Then he says, okay, I'll give you 1 year. Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is 1 year in your Bible. Don't it seem like it's for more than that? 1 year, what happens? We know John the Baptist, they cut his head off. Strike one. Lord Jesus Christ, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Strike two. That's God the Father, God the Son, and Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Jesus Christ said, stood on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what? God the Father answered God the Son's prayer request. He did forgive them for crucifying him. But he says, if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven you. Okay? Crucify him. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. Now, what world is he talking about? Because this part right here was still hid in the Bible. Now, was it the heavens up there? Yes. Who controls the first and second heaven? Okay? He's the prince of power of the air. He's the God of this world. Okay? Won't be forgiven you in this world or world to come. So he's postponing that kingdom for that reason. Verse 25. For I wroth not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceit, that blindness is in part as happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. They're blind right now. You know, Brother Richard got a little study out of three blind Jews. And if you refer to that, there's three blind Jews that Paul went to. And there's three blind Jews over here. But the thing is, how do you follow a blind person? You're going to ditch. So the postponement in verse 26 says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they, Israel, are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So the election for Israel, the saved Israelites, is for what? Service. So I always say, what good would it be to follow a gospel that's given to Israel today? What gospel was over there that was to Israel? And the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the kingdom, you mentioned that. That is not in effect today. God has not forgot about them, as we notice. But today, he's doing something different. I mentioned about the advantages right quick. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now we'll see that the mystery program is now in effect. The prophecy program is on hold. Ephesians chapter 2, you there? Ephesians chapter 2. Many of you can probably say this backwards in your mind. Wherefore, remember chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye be in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Who is he talking to here? Who's this book written to? Ephesians, right? So he's looking at Ephesians and he's saying, you're uncircumcised. What did Stephen say to those religious leaders over there? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised. You want to make somebody mad? Call them stiff-necked. Call them uncircumcised. Them are fighting words, but who gave those words? Who made it do that? Who's the one called people dogs? Yeah. That's what they considered people. You're dogs. But he says that at that time, Ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, is that advantage or disadvantage in God's program? Is that advantage or disadvantage in God's program? Who had the advantage in time past? It says in time past, ye were without. You know, I share this with people all the time when I can. Nobody ever showed me this verse growing up as a little Baptist guy, little sheep. What was the old preacher used to say? Sheep or what? Stupid. And he said that not to be ugly. He said that because they're a very vulnerable animal. They'll follow a goat off the cliff. Well, but is a goat going off the cliff? No. In time past, what? We didn't have the advantages, guys. We was down here on the bottom. But now, verse 13, in Christ Jesus, ye were sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. The walls that was laid out there, the spiritual walls, the legal walls, the physical walls, walls, they're there for a reason, but they're gone now. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word. Now, if you have heard, have you heard? That if is not like, well, maybe they didn't. They heard it. If you have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. If you read this without the parentheses, if you have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto the holy prophets and holy apostles and prophets. What's hid? The mystery who? In Christ. Where's it hid at? In His Word, right? God's the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and God was Word. Was it hid in God or in the Word?
In God. God is the Word.
You got to be careful with that, because if it was, we got some people that we know very close that says it was hid in His Word, but Abraham just didn't know it. Now, who knows this word far better than you and I will ever know? And if he knowed that purpose of this mystery program, what's the purpose of the mystery program? But what's the purpose? Why did he have a mystery program? But why wouldn't he kill him? See? People says, well, the mystery is that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. That's not a mystery. That's always been in prophecy, Genesis 3:15. What he's accomplished by that cross was the mystery. That we're not only, let's keep reading. It says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as is now revealed to his holy prophets and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. What gospel would that be? By the way, when it says, see that the Gentiles, the NIV and the other versions adds with Israel. And it's not with Israel. Then he says, by the gospel. What gospel is that? Gospel of the grace of God, gospel of the uncircumcision. What benefit would that be? That outside of Israel, we're saved. And what that prophecy program is on postponing, the mystery program is now in effect, is the fact that we, that the Gentiles are maybe, should be fellow heirs, and that that we have a position in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places that was not made known. Because we talk about this all the time, and don't ever forget it, when Jesus Christ was on this earth and he was 40 days in the wilderness and he hungered, and Satan took him up and offered him bread, he said, the word, not bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of God's mouth. Then he took him up on a high pinnacle and showed him the kingdoms of the world. Now, I wonder what kingdoms he showed him. He probably had a fast-forward motion showing all this stuff over here and all these glory cities and all that stuff that's coming. Look, I can give, just bow down. Just worship me. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ did not say, no. Them are not yours. He knew what Adam did in the garden. He gave the deed up to the world. That's why he's a God of this world. He's the little g of this world. And he could offer him, if he offered Jesus Christ that, Jesus Christ said, okay, deal. I don't have to die. You know, I don't have to do this. Sold. Who still had the first and second heaven? So he would still be over God. He would still be over the world. But what that program did when was postponed, and God shows what revealed through Apostle Paul, is that he's taken the body of Christ, a new entity, a new vehicle, and placing us into a body and placing us in the heavenly places above all those things. And Jesus Christ, by the way, he died, was buried, and rose again. He was up here. Now, according to Paul, he's above all principalities and powers. So he's above them all right now. And Satan don't like that. Now, does Satan still control the first and second heaven right now? Has the heavens been cleansed? Job says the heavens are what? Corrupt. And if you look up there, beautiful those skies are and those stars, and you're looking at glazing and all this stuff, and they're corrupt. They're corrupt. So then he says, verse 7, wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Who's the grace giver here? Who's the lawgiver? Well, who's the law? Now, God gave it to him, but who's the lawgiver? But who's the grace giver here? He says, wherefore I made a minister according to the gift of grace of God unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul's the grace giver. But where does 90% of people out there want to follow? Moses. Listen, guys. When you pull up a stop sign, what is in your mind when you pull up a stop sign? How do you look? Straight forward, master gas, right? You look what? Left. Then you look right. And then what? Left again. Why do you look left again? No, there ain't no might. There's a reason for it. Things will appear faster on your left than on your right. When you look at God's Word and the way God's Word's laid out, what's to the left of Paul's epistles? What's to the right of Paul's epistles? We could say times past, but now, and ages come. So when you pull up to Paul's epistles and you look left, what's to the left of Paul's epistles? Law. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all that stuff. Then you look right. Then you look left again. It appears people tend to gravitate towards this side more so than just staying right here. That's what I'm trying to get you to think about. When they get saved in this program, where is their focus? Oh, we got to go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus said, Jesus said, Jesus said. But didn't Jesus say this to Paul? Be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul says. And then he says, unto me whom am less than least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. See that created all things by Jesus Christ? If you have an NIV, it's not in there. Everything that God's done is created. Is that still working? Everything that God's done is done for who? Created by who? That's always been a battle, people. Satan got so lifted up in pride when he was doing a worship service that he saw his beauty and he wanted to be like God. So he created a rebellion. And that rebellion has been going on, that battle. And that main theme of your Bible is this. Do you know what it is? Authority over what? Of throne over the entire universe. So when it's all said and done, Jesus Christ, you got the earth, you got the heaven, and you got Jesus Christ. He's going to rule and reign over the entire universe. Now, you might be thinking, well, are there more galaxies out there? Are there more this? And no more? I have no idea. I have no idea. Is it fascinating to think that? Probably so. But the light you see out there is living. Angels are light. And you, without getting off subject a little bit, why does it look like there's been water at the planets? You ever thought about that? That's right. He opened up the heavens, the windows of heaven, and it flooded that whole universe. And that's why it looks like lakes. And looks like, and it tilted the whole thing. So that's why I say, hey, must be water up there. If it is, that God put it up there. So go determine with me. Oh, look, 10. And to the intent, what is the intent of this stuff? To make all men see. To make Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ. And the saints given them. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything is focused right on Christ Jesus our Lord, and Satan hates that. Go with me one more time to Colossians chapter 1. Get ready to close. Colossians chapter 1. I can't help but going back to verse 23. If you continue in faith and grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of his gospel, which have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under the heaven, wherefore I, Paul, is made a minister. This message is so powerful that it's been preached to every creature under heaven. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Where did you hear that from just a few minutes ago? Ephesians what? Ephesians what? 3. Verse 2. Dispensation of God that is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Fulfill, as Des would say, right? Fulfill. Now, wait a minute. How can it be fulfilled, the word of God? Look at it again. Wherefore, if I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, underline, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So, which is given to me, verse 25, for you to fulfill the word of God. So what do you think about that for a second? Paul's writing is a capstone of God's revelations. There is no more revelations out there that you could write in this book that God spoke and authorized. Now, you may have revelations. Go eat a pepperoni pizza about 9 o'clock at night and see what kind, who's talking to you all night long. It ain't God. You know, it's certain. Funny how certain foods make you, do that. But it ain't God. Paul's epistles, Paul's writing has fulfilled the word of God, people. That's why we have the word of God. We don't have to write. You know what that old saying is? These blank pages in the back of this Bible, they're not for more revelations. That's for you to write notes. I've got a note taker Bible that the columns are so wide you can just make all kinds of notes. That's okay. You know, a lot of people just think, oh man, you're writing in your Bible? You're marking up your Bible? It's your Bible, ain't it? You know. But the thing is, he's fulfilled the word of God in his writings. And in this mystery program is now in effect. That's why we can talk about it. That's why I share with people all the time, I want to spend the rest of my time while I'm on this earth to know about right now. Because all this other stuff, if you know what God is doing right now through the agencies of the world that looks like they're coming down on you, tightening grips on you, what can you find in Paul's epistles to tell you how to deal with this? Does he tell you in Paul's epistles to beat your plowshares into swords right now? He don't say that. But does he talk about a time that he's going to? There's going to be a time come over here that when God rolls up the heavens in a stroll and shakes them and all them bad apples fall to this earth, the final battle is going to be taken this earth. And we're placing those places. But do you know that all the technology that we love, that I love, ain't going to be around here? You know, you can write a note, a letter, and send it to somebody a lot better than you can take that phone and text. Because how many times you text something and somebody took it the wrong way? That's not what I meant. You know, that's what I meant. And you had to explain. Well, you might as well have picked up the phone and talked to them. But that technology, all this technology that you should see out there and these warheads and these machines and stuff like that, do you know that God sends 90-pound hailstones out of the heavens? What's that going to do with the satellites? What's that going to do to the battleships and the tanks? So what are they going to resort back to? Yeah. Horses. They're going to go back communicating again. I watched this one movie, and it was called Body of Lies. I hate to admit it, but I did. And it was about overseas covert operations in the Islam states. You know, they wouldn't communicate with this. They passed notes. And they couldn't figure out why they was doing all this stuff. So what I'm getting at, we got the Word of God, and it's going to be forever. And people's tried to destroy this book from the beginning. Remember the guy, that king, took a penknife and cut every word out, throwed it in fire. And what did God tell Jeremiah? And add to this. So people says, oh, the Word of God is corrupt. Listen, where are the original tablets of that God wrote with His fingers? When Moses came down the mountainside. Didn't He break those? So we have a book that can explain what we're doing in the mystery program. So anybody listening out there, you need to focus on Romans through Philemon if you want to know what God is doing today. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. Thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.